You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 82. My guest today is Anne with a couple of beautiful dreams that are related. And I don't know whether you'll hear this, but when you listen to Anne's dreams, because, you know, the way we do this podcast is we record the interpretation with the dreamer and then we go back afterwards and we put my little introduction on and we put my little ending on. But you'll hear Anne talking a lot about birds in her dreams. Birds were quite a feature in her dreams, and particularly at one stage, a big black bird. And while we were recording, we actually had a big black bird, which is a crow, kept landing on the windowsill outside the recording studio and making that loud sound that crows do. And I didn't want to draw Anne's attention to it during the interpretation because we were really focused on what we were doing. And I don't know whether you'll hear it. You know, this microphone we use here is quite unidirectional. But if you do hear this kind of loud corking in the background. We didn't put sound effects on afterwards, and I just wanted to make sure that you didn't do that. We never do that. But there was one particular point at which it was quite pertinent that the crow was out there doing its cawing, as you'll probably hear if he's made it all the way onto the podcast. But without further ado, you'll get heaps out of this one. Here's Anne. Welcome to the show, Anne. How are you this morning? Oh, not this morning for you. Sorry.
Yeah, late afternoon for me. I'm great, thanks.
And we were having a little chat while we were getting ready just now, and you said you've had your first storms of winter.
Yeah, we dug out our snow shovels. We're ready.
Wouldn't it be nice if winter was just like a couple of weeks, you know, a couple of weeks of fun and then back to the nice weather again?
Oh, well, we'll see.
Now, you contacted me because you said you had a beautiful dream to share, and I don't know what it's about, but I do know that just now you said you've got actually two dreams now on the theme of windows. So I'm all ears, Anne.
All right. Well, before I start the first dream, I also have a question to ask, and I'm wondering why it is on the mornings when I sleep late, or when I go back to bed and I have a dream, it's usually very disturbing, and it's almost like a little mini nightmare, and it's almost like my body's saying, get out of bed, you slept in too late. And so that's what this first dream I had, when I had slept in too late. And so it was kind of a disturbing dream. So here goes. I was in my bedroom, and it must have been a summer day because the room was very bright and the window was open. Now, my window in the dream, it had three coverings. One of them is like cloth draperies, and then there was white metal blinds, and then a screen before you get to the outside. So when I came into the room, I noticed that there was a small bird that was in the room, and I felt horrified because how was this bird going to get back outside, and how did it get in my room? And then I noticed that there were many birds at the top of the window, and they were behind the curtain and caught in these white metal blinds. And they were trying to get into my room or trying to get back outside, kind of going back and forth. Some of the birds were smaller, some were bigger, but they were the normal birds that I'd see around the neighborhood, just gray or black. And they were congregating and flapping around and chirping. And more birds were trying to come in from the outside. And I looked and I noticed that the screen at the top of the window was deteriorating. And this is how they were getting in and getting caught in the folds of the blinds. Mm. I was very upset and I was racking my brain trying to figure out how I was going to get these birds back outside. Now, a younger version of my daughter came into the room. And she had just woken up, and she was still in her pajamas, and she saw these birds. And I was trying to talk to her in a very calm way to let her know everything's okay, even though inside it was like, this is not okay. And we both saw a larger black bird flying into the room. So I told her, go get dressed and then shut the door so that the birds don't get into the rest of the house. And we had just put new windows in our house about 6 months ago or in the spring. And so these were brand new windows. And so the thought ran through my mind, I'm going to go call the manufacturer because these screens have deteriorated much too quickly for brand new windows. So that was the first dream.
Mm. How long ago was that dream, Anne?
Let's see, about a week and a half.
About a week and a half ago. And the other dream, which was obviously after that.
Yes. Yes. Are you ready for that one?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next dream. The town that I live in does not have a mall, but in the dream, I was visiting the mall that was in my town. And I was going there because my husband and two other women from the neighborhood were going to be live models in a department store window. And now, none of the malls in our area do this, but maybe some do anyway. And I'm not sure what they were modeling. I don't know if it was clothing or furniture or something else, but they were going to be live, and they were going to be there all day in this window. Now, in the dream, I knew the women, but I don't remember who they are now that I'm awake. Mm. One of the women was in a wheelchair, and the other woman, she was either elderly or disabled in some other way. My husband was sitting in a wooden rocking chair. My next-door neighbor, who I've just known forever, she was also there, and she was helping the women get settled into their spots and make sure they had everything they needed. No one was coming by yet to see the window, and my purpose there was to figure out how the group was going to order from this menu next door. It was a fresh food store, because they would need a snack or lunch as the day went on, so that was my role there, and that was that dream.
Beautiful. I've only got two questions to ask. One is just clarifying, Anne, that when you talked about getting new windows 6 months ago, you were talking about in your waking life you actually got new windows 6 months ago. That was right, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And the other question is with that next door neighbor in the second dream there, that is somebody that you actually know from waking life. She's your actual next door neighbor.
That's correct.
Yeah. Which three words would you use to describe her personality?
Well, let's see. At times, she is scatterbrained and out of control. But at other times, she's very welcoming and hospitable. And she has very good intentions. So she's very loving and kind. Good person.
A good person. That's lovely. Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to start. Obviously, the two are connected, and you know that, and I can see that too. So let's start with the first one. Absolutely stunningly beautiful dreams. Usually, when we talk about birds, you know, most people, I guess, responses to birds are, oh, bird, you know, beautiful birds, unless you're sort of looking at Psycho the movie or something. Was it Psycho? No,
well,
birds.
Yeah, exactly what I thought about. Oh my gosh, birds. You know,
is that so? In waking life, how do you feel about birds?
Kind of neutral. I mean, they're beautiful, but I don't want them in the house. There have been times when a bird has gotten stuck in the garage, and it's very scary because you know the bird is going to flap and get it caught and hurt his wings and maybe die in the garage. So
yeah,
it's a very upsetting thing when they get stuck in an enclosed situation. But no,
yes.
I think they're wonderful and beautiful.
Okay, that's beautiful. So, you know, as with everything in the dream being an aspect of yourself, and with animals in our dreams often representing our instincts, we have the birds that are, and lots of birds that are something that you find very beautiful. Well, you're neutral about in the outer world, but they're also beautiful. And of course, birds fly high. You know, they probably of all animals, birds have mastery over the often, you know, the air, the ground, and of course, with seabirds, sea as well. well. So, you know, they in terms of views or perceptions, you know, we talk about a bird's eye view. You can fly up high and you can look down, because I'm thinking windows here, you know, and views. You can get many different views as a bird. But obviously there's an aspect of yourself at the time of that first dream and a week and a half ago, Anne, that should have been out there and free and in its natural environment, or an instinct that felt that, you know, in under normal circumstances would be doing its normal, wonderful thing, which is quite a kind of a mastery kind of thing, but at the time of the dream was in danger of feeling trapped, of feeling flustered, and, you know, as you've described there, with a bird trapped indoors, possibly you know, in danger of being hurt. So a week and a half ago there was some aspect of yourself that, rather than allowing it to fly and to flow and to express itself in the outer world as a bird would flying through the air, was actually feeling trapped. And when we have any creative energy trapped within ourselves, that's when we can get frustrated or even feel hurt, as, you know, at some level. And that's why in the dream you were really trying to release it. Now, I love the fact that in the dream, you sometimes you call that there was a screen and there were the curtains, the fabric curtains, and between that was the blinds. And just in the way that you were describing it, you know, and the birds being caught in the top of the blinds, I kept thinking, isn't it interesting that a window is a view on the world? You know, we look out of the window. A window only works for us if we're using our sight. I mean, yeah, you can open a window for fresh air, but you can open a door for fresh air too. A window is all about vision and clarity. And isn't it funny that we call blinds blinds, you know, we're blind when we can't see. So I thought, because you actually mentioned that at least a couple of times, the birds caught in the blinds, I'm thinking, yeah, this is, I feel this dream came up at a time of when your normal vision, as in clarity of purpose, your view of life, your perception, was momentarily blinded, shut down with three different layers, the screen, the blinds, and the curtains in the dream. And this was causing some inner confusion represented by the birds flying around the room, and could possibly result in you feeling hurt as well, because that's how a trapped bird would feel. So something about the way that you would normally express yourself actually being held in and feeling potentially hurt there. And I love the way that you said at some stage, I was racking my brains for something, and, you know, your brains are at the top of your body, and it was the top of the blinds where that were actually deteriorating, which is where the birds were getting in. So there was an emphasis, a double emphasis in the dream there on the top, you know. So I was thinking, exactly that. I was thinking, but birds probably don't think, they feel.
Right.
So the bird aspect of ourself will be out there in touch with its heart, in touch with its spiritual nature, doing its thing. Whereas if you move suddenly for whatever reason from your heart space into your head space, that's when you get trapped in the room. That's when you maybe, you know, not in full flight, not seeing clearly.
And I do have a bad habit of that. I get stuck in my head and analyze things and go over things. And so that would be a bad habit of mine, to get out of my body and into my head.
Yeah,
and get
so that
stuck
makes
there.
That makes sense. Was that particularly happening for you, do you think, about a week and a half ago, Anne?
Well, there are some circumstances where we're having to keep things under wraps and secret, or just private, more private, not necessarily secret, but private. Mm-hmm. And so it's very challenging. And so thinking about, you know, what do we say to people, and do other people know, and so that's...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So the, you know, deciding how much to keep under wraps is a bit like the three layers on the window.
Yeah.
But the kind of warning in the dream, if there's at all a warning there, is the fact that the trapped bird, in your eyes, is in danger of being hurt. And so because everything's an aspect of yourself, it's looking to see in the choices that you make over how much to keep private and how much to make public, at what level may this turn in on you like a bird in a room and leave you feeling hurt at some level as well, you know. So to watch out for nurturing that whatever decisions you make also work in a way that uplifts you, like a bird is uplifted, if it's at all possible to do that, but that definitely doesn't result in hurting. You know, no action is meant to result in hurt. And I think sometimes, you know, we can take so many steps to try to prevent other people from feeling hurt, which is what I'm sensing from what you're saying there, and taking the hurt ourselves instead.
You know,
taking the hit, yeah. And I think there's some aspect of that in the dream. It's like, how can you, we're all here to express in the best possible way rather than to be hurt. Or if we do feel hurt, to work out why without being over analytical, and then to move into a more expressive or positive phrase. And I guess that's the challenge there. But I'm also interested, Anne, that in the dream, your daughter came in and she was younger in the dream. Mm-hmm. What kind of age was she in the dream?
Oh, 4 or 5-ish, somewhere around there.
So we've got that, and we've also got the reference to, you know, the fact that even in the dream, to some extent, the windows were reminding you of a time 6 months ago when you actually put new windows in your house. So we've got two dates to look at there to reflect back upon and see how these relate to this issue of privacy and how that's affecting you, which is, you know, the dream seems to be about. So if we go back, first of all, 4 or 5 years, which was the age of your daughter in the dream, something that's been in your life for 4 or 5 years, that would take us to 2005, 2006. Was there any change in your life then regarding kind of privacy?
Well, let's see, about 4 years ago, a son was diagnosed with some things and in the hospital, and he had that same feeling of, you know, I don't want my whole life out there. I don't want people, you know, want the whole world visiting me in the hospital. This is kind of a private thing. And so, again, that situation in the family where, you know, we don't, how much do we share with other people, and how much do we just keep private within the family? That was kind of going on.
Yeah. How did it work out for him looking back over those years? Was that a strategy that worked well for him, do you think?
Oh, it's a chronic illness. So every once in a while he finds himself back in the hospital. So I guess things have come out slowly, and that's kind of how he prefers it, that the important people to him, he'll share information with about a chronic illness, and for other people, he won't even bother them with it.
Mm.
So that's kind of how he handles it.
And it works well for him in terms of that nurtures his soul, do you feel, given the circumstances?
Yeah. Yes.
And if you look back 6 months ago, Anne, to when you put the new windows in the house, was there anything specific happening around these issues or areas then for you? So that would be December, January, March, April. It'd be April, May.
April, May.
Yeah, probably May.
Oh, not really anything about privacy in the family, no, not that I can think of.
And when you specifically put new windows in your house, was that were the windows the same size? Did it increase your view? Did it increase people being able to see into the house or anything like that?
Only in the sense that I never washed my windows before, and now they're brand new, bright, clean windows. So, yes, our view increased significantly outward, and I suppose inward, just because they're cleaner.
Yeah. So at some level, whether or not you really noticed it at the time, 6 months ago, there was that feeling of, the price to pay, if you look at it that way, the price to pay of a clearer vision of the outer world, or it is that people can see in more. And if we make that slightly more metaphysical, there should never be a price to pay metaphysically, but I'm just translating here. If we make it slightly more metaphysical, the more I go out and fulfill my expression in the world, the more vulnerable I feel because people can see me.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess like putting those windows in and noticing that about the clean windows versus the windows that had accumulated the stuff of time, kind of at a deep unconscious level came up again in that dream a week and a half ago to say, it's like this, you know, reflecting what you said about both about your son's chronic illness and about what it is that you want to, you know, decide how much to keep private and public at the moment, is that the core issue underneath that is more a feeling of vulnerability. If I go out and share this information, or on another level, because, you know, life always reflects on so many levels, if I go out in the world and express myself even more than I do, it's feelings of vulnerability and potential hurt that come up from this, even though the dream so beautifully illustrates, but it's the trapped bird that is in danger of feeling hurt. It's not the bird that's out there. It's actually works the other way around.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, which is quite a deep insight. So I'd quite like to go from that to the second dream before we put the two together.
Okay.
So in that second dream, what a lovely idea of putting a live show on in a window. I love that. What I notice, so you've got your husband in the dream, and often the male in the dream, as I'm sure you know, represents, you know, the dreamer, whether the dreamer is male or female, the male in the dream will often represent your yang, how you are out in the world. So this dream is, you know, even more directly about the world and how you are in it, I feel. But we're then looking at all the female support around that, the other three women in the dream, as well as you. So it's kind of like the female side of how you get the male side out there. And in the dream, both the women in the window are disabled in some way. One was in a wheelchair and one was elderly, or you saw her as elderly or disabled.
Yeah.
So the one in the wheelchair obviously either couldn't or wouldn't walk, so right. Had a problem with legs. And what was the elderly or disabled one? Was she a leg kind of problem as well, or are you not really quite sure?
I don't remember, just that I think she was sitting, or that she would be sitting in the display. So either just that she would be tired standing up for hours and hours,
yeah,
or that she couldn't stand. I don't remember which.
Okay. So either way, whether she couldn't stand or whether standing for too long would make her tired, comes back to a leg issue there. And your husband was sitting in a rocking chair and presumably could get up, but he was also choosing not to use his legs in the dream.
Right.
So you got three people on display in a window. Oh, and by the way, a mall. You said, you know, there's not actually a mall in your hometown. But I guess, to my mind, a mall, it's kind of outdoors but indoors, you know, because the you can't get traffic on the mall. It's pedestrian traffic. It's kind of like if the shops and the mall were a house, the mall would be like the balcony. You know, it's kind of attached to the house but not outdoors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this one was right on the sidewalk. So the window where people would be looking in was outside. They would not be in the mall. This was an outside window of a mall.
All right, I've got you. Okay, yeah. So so we've got two visions here. We've got the potential of the people in the window looking out, but they're not really doing that. They're on display. The emphasis is more on what people are looking into the house.
Right.
Yeah. So this is about your concerns of what people can see into you. So on that level, we've got, okay, we're supposed to be modeling something here. So not thinking clothes or household goods or whatever, but thinking on a metaphysical level, behavioral patterns, modeling spiritual examples, modeling emotional, modeling ways of living, modeling how to deal with challenges in life, that kind of modeling.
Uh-huh.
And your concern at the time of the dream is what I'm modeling is seems to have a difficulty with standing on my own two feet, with direction, with support. I mean, I'm thinking what legs are used for, you know. And perhaps being tired, so that kind of feeling. Am I modeling? I'm sort of role modeling to the world, or the world is seeing me as someone who maybe has difficulty in finding feet to know where to move to the next direction, or getting support. And then the support, that there are two women supporting in the dream. One is you, and your job is to get them good nourishment in the dream, to get them good food and fresh food, which was lovely. So kind of like the task of the main you in the dream, that's the one that looks like you, is to nourish yourself. Everyone in the dream is an aspect of yourself, and your challenge in the dream is to find nourishment, you know, because no matter what the situation is at the moment that you're trying to decide how much to make public, keep private, it's like the first dream, it's about, yes, and the most important thing is about nourishing myself too, because if I'm not nourished, everything else falls down as well.
Yeah.
So that is your key in the dream, how to get fresh nourishment to these people who may be modeling, I don't know, they may be modeling how to cope with the situation when they can't stand on their feet, how to cope with the situation when they don't know where to go, but you're still feeling like I've got to help them in some way. And the other woman who's your neighbor, who you see as, amongst other things, as totally good and kind, loving and kind and good intentions. So there's that aspect. She's helping and assisting as well. You know, so there's the part of yourself that really is asking the question, where is the point of good intention, not only for the people that I'm helping, or good intention for what kind of level of protection I want to offer outside, for, you know, the part of yourself that has the intention, holds the intention that I don't want to hurt or burden other people with what's going on here. But at the same time, that good intention needs to be turned inward on yourself. You also don't want to hurt or burden yourself, or you'll be like a bird trapped in a room. And I love the fact that, you know, of all the people, of all the good intention people that you could have chosen to represent this in the dream, and you've chosen someone that's also sometimes scatterbrained and out of control, because when you said that, I immediately thought, oh, I don't know why, but I made the connection with the top of the blind deteriorating, you know, being the upper part of the body.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's like, oh yeah, like all those beautifully controlled ways of dealing and ways of thinking, or perhaps, as you said to me, ways of analysing, are kind of falling apart, and I'm feeling scatterbrained here. Well, we've actually got the word brain in there, haven't we? Scatterbrained.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I'm getting the feeling that this lovely woman, and I know that kind of character, I know a lot of people like that, that are scatterbrained and out of control, but also beautifully well-intentioned, and they're just gorgeous human beings.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of you thinking, if... you know, this challenge in my life at the moment, which is really challenging all my best intentions, but it may be throwing at the same stage my previous ability to stay calm, to stay in control, to work according to certain approaches and behavioral patterns that, and perhaps, you know, analytical approaches that have always worked for me in the past. But I'm frightened that that's kind of giving way a bit, like the top of the blind deteriorating, like this woman that's trying to organize these people. So my whole feeling from that is that it's as if something is necessarily shifting and changing within you, as, you know, yet another stage on your journey of wisdom, as you know, as you go through life's challenges, that is now beginning to feel a need to release on some analytical approaches to life, in order to form new approaches to life. And the in-between stage feels like scatterbrain, and feels like panic, like, oh, you know, the question is, how much can I control this? And when you begin to change that into another approach, and that new approach, ultimately one is of peace and security and feeling comfortable, but the in-between stage feels like a bird trapped in a room.
Yeah, or a little bit shaky. I totally agree. My life right now, just because of the family dynamic shifting, is it's a big change. And the idea of, I wonder, as people look in at our family, are they going to see that we are disabled, or how much am I able to stand on my own two feet, or... Yeah, lots of changes.
Yeah. You know, knowing that that's the core issue, you know, recognizing that that's the question, and then, you know, associated with that question is, how can I, make sure that I am supported and not hurt through this as well, that, you know, I Anne, am equally as important as everyone else in this situation, in my family and outside, of having the best outcome. You know, the question becomes in the dream, how we can begin to address that. And of course, we're ultimately going to do it with some dream alchemy, which we'll deliver. But it's also a matter of maintaining that awareness as you make these decisions and as you gradually reveal some things in the world and checking in always on this awareness of this. So if you specifically, I know you can't give any details, but as you specifically look at this thing of the legs and you just said there, can I stand, you know, more on my 2 feet? Is there more there with a problem of direction? Is it more than standing on your own feet? Is it not knowing where to walk to or how to walk? Is there more there with support?
No, to me the direction is very clear. It's just a new direction, and so it's a bit. I don't know if scary is the word. It's just new. So maybe the way a baby first takes its step, it's like I know the direction that I need to go. That is very clear. So I guess the window is very big and bright. It's just new.
Yes. Yeah. So if we can go with this feeling of the birds and freeing the birds with a dream alchemy, I just want to run this past you first. If we do this, there will be several outcomes. So I just want to make sure that you're comfortable with them. If we work to free the birds in a visualization from the dream room into the outer world, and we attach with that all the emotions that make you well nourished with fresh food and feeling comfortable, what that will do is help you to feel more comfortable with the world looking in at you, you know, and not concerning yourself with their judgment or whatever. you know, and that will be a lovely thing to happen. But because things happen at many levels, or I shouldn't say but, I should and, just say and, but and because things happen at so many levels, what that will also mean is that shortly after that, you are likely to also take steps. Maybe baby steps, but you're also likely to take steps that express other aspects of yourself in the outer world as well. And I feel that's more in your, you know, increasing steps in your mastery of what it is that you do, because you are going to be freeing that bird's part of yourself to go out in the world and do what it does well, rather than being trapped inside, regardless of other people's judgment or, you know, any feelings of vulnerability you've got. So if we do this dream alchemy, are you comfortable with the fact that it will, while it will help you to see increasingly clearly the necessity to bring a little bit more of your private life out into the public and to seek support from that, that you will also likely zoom quite a far away ahead in your career or whatever it is that you do? Are you prepared for that?
No, because I'm not the family. It's not just my choice in the family how much to reveal. It's kind of all of us together we're deciding. So I couldn't do that on my own.
Mm.
I would be limited to how much the other people in the family feel comfortable and ready to give up to not feel vulnerable.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Okay, so what I think we'll do in this case is rather than give you a visualization, you know, that I was describing there that would kind of fast track you to being fully comfortable, but take you through steps that are too shaky and that do involve other people's decision making. Well, leave that to one side, because you can always, at a later stage, when you feel ready for it and when everybody's comfortable with their decisions, you can come back to this podcast and rework that kind of visualization for yourself, which would basically be, I think, taking the first dream and just suddenly just throwing open the windows so easily, actually opening the windows like doors and letting the birds out and taking your own, every aspect of your, you know, well-being and your heart out there and kind of getting the feeling of flying free. And that's something you can return to when you're ready. But as you say, not now. You have to be ready for these different levels. So what I feel for you, Anne, would work really well, particularly, as you say, where you're going also through these shaky steps of recognizing that you sometimes get stuck in analytical at certain times, and also feeling, you know, that this isn't just your decision, that there are so many other people involved in this. I think what I'd like to do is set you more of an alchemy that increases your awareness on a day-to-day level of what is actually happening, so that you can be aware and check in with yourself with each decision or step that you make, so that even when you're you know, taking into account someone else in the family's wishes, in the very least, you know, at a very deep level where you're at with that. And it does often work, that the more at a deeper level, that the more comfortable you feel yourself, despite everything that I said, the more comfortable that you feel yourself with your own vulnerabilities. Sometimes that shift or change within yourself can actually, in amazing ways, shift the whole dynamics of all the relationships around you anyway. And suddenly everyone in the family is also more open. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely agree with that.
But yes. I think because of your, because you want to step so carefully, and as you say, take baby steps, I think what I'd like to set you as a dialogue exercise. So what this would be is you probably know how to do this, Anne, but I'm just explaining this so that everyone listening in is with us here. As you would take either a piece of paper and a pen or the keyboard, and you would turn off all your phones and everything, you know, close the doors, just have quiet time to yourself for 5 or 10 minutes, and do a dialogue with the birds, with all the birds as a group that are trapped in the room in that first dream. And what you do with a dialogue is you write about one sentence each, and you don't put any thought or any analysis into it. You just let your heart be silly and say any old thing, because then what you're doing is engaging your unconscious mind in banter, in chit chat, and your unconscious mind in writing this dialogue will often reveal more to you about what the birds symbolize. So it would go something like this. You would start with Anne, and your opening question might be, you might type or write, oh, birds, oh my, how did you get so trapped? And then the next bit is birds in one voice, always have them in one voice. Oh, and then just see what comes out. And then Anne, and then birds in one voice, and just alternate typing or writing very fast, a quick conversation. If it turns out to be absolutely stupid, that's fine. You can press delete, throw it in the bin, but you will most probably learn something from your unconscious mind, more than we've talked about today, that helps enlighten you further about the meaning of those birds. And once you've got that, whenever you're listening to your family and listening to their thoughts and feelings about the decisions that you're making and how much you want to make public and everything, to also be checking in kind of on the sidelines within yourself to this chorus of birds and saying to yourself quietly, and birds, how do you feel about that? So what it's really doing is, as you get to know these birds through that dialogue, as you're getting to know that instinctive aspect of yourself that is in danger of feeling trapped, so that you're constantly checking in your awareness on where you're feeling there, so that you can help to make decisions with your family that also are freeing the bird, maybe not totally, but are actually protecting the bird from being hurt, which is yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically the birds would be my unconscious mind, or the inspirational part of myself, that then I would need to tune in and say, okay, inspirational part of myself, what are you telling me now?
Exactly, that's right. So you get that feeling that while you're slightly more analytical, mind might be debating with your family members what to say, what not to say, how to proceed from here. And while also your love for your family members is also working at that level, that you're also checking in on that inspirational, intuitional, instinctive part of yourself, which is the part of yourself that needs to fly on every level, and just saying, you know, well, how am I feeling here? Because in all this decision making, it's also important for me not to feel trapped, not to feel in danger of being hurt, which is what the bird was in the dream, and ultimately to be able to express itself out in the world without fear of judgment or vulnerability. So it's a way, in a baby step progress, before ultimately freeing the bird in the way that you would like to be able to just check that you're not, that you're able to release the bird bit by bit by bit. So it's checking at your deepest level that whatever decisions are made for the family as a whole, they are not hurting you.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. So, as always, Anne, that, you know, when we have these, when we have lovely guests like yourself on the show, not only are you getting something from this, but there is so much to learn for people listening in. You know, not only are they picking up approaches to how to interpret a dream and how to compare it to your waking life and what notes to take, but, you know, the actual spiritual lessons that you're and the spiritual challenges that you're facing at the moment and the way that you're interacting with your dreams and the alchemy to overcome those or to learn from those are always helping other people as well. So thank you so much for sharing that absolutely beautiful dream.
Thank you for listening. Now, back to the question about disturbing dreams and sleeping in.
Yeah, it was a really interesting question because most people tend to, if you wake up early in the morning and go back to bed for that extra sleep that you don't have, most people do tend to remember that dream more. It's also a time when people that do lucid dreaming, you know, when you actually know that you're dreaming, say it's easier to lucid dream at that time in the morning. It's also the time if you actually measure the length of your dreams throughout the night, and you know, in an 8-hour sleep, you have about 5 dreams. In generally, that last dream will also be the longest. That last dream is also the one where you tend to wake up directly after the dream because, you know, you've had enough sleep by now. So for all those reasons, we tend to remember the last dream more than the others. So that's why it can be, you know, more memorable. But I, by the same token, I hear what you say, that that dream for you is often the scarier or more worrying or darker or more nightmarish one. So I would say that that will probably come up at times when, although you think, oh, I should be getting up and getting on, some deeper, wiser part of yourself is saying, no, I really want you to get back in touch with your unconscious because there's a serious issue here I want you to acknowledge. And I feel that's why you're getting that, you know, that deeper, darker dream that you maybe would have forgotten during the night. Another person might have remembered during the night, so wouldn't need to go back to bed, but it's important to break through for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Fly beautifully at all levels,
right,
Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wasn't that great? And I'm sure that each and every one of you have got something to take home and apply to your own life from that. And I'd really like to just kind of leave the show making a little point about that, because quite a few people have emailed and said that they really particularly loved the last few shows. I hope that's because we're getting better and better, but it's also because we covered some very big themes there that apply to a lot of people. But you also take a dream like Anne's, and even though it's very specific, it's not the kind of dream, or they're not the kind of dreams that a lot of people have. They're very unique to Anne, and yet we can all take away something from it. And it's wonderful that by eavesdropping on someone else's dream, you can take home little bits of insight for yourself to apply, maybe, you know, increase your own spiritual understanding or your own self-understanding through listening to other people. But I do have to emphasize here that if you get that much from listening to other people's dreams, and you haven't had one of your own dreams interpreted either on the show or with me privately, then you have no idea how much more information you get about your life, how much more helpful it is to you, how much more guidance you get, how much more your eyes are opened when it's your dream you're talking about and the insights are about you. So you hear a guest go, oh, wow, I've got that. And you get a lovely, good, you know, smiley, happy moment, and you get something from it too. But when you're that person, it goes so deep. It goes so deep. So if you would like that to happen for you, you have those two choices. You can come on the show and share it with everybody, which is a wonderful thing to do. Or you can, if you prefer to go confidentially, completely confidentially, you can, of course, book an appointment with me. You can either do a one-on-one Skype thing, you know, I'll Skype you or I'll phone you, and we spend an hour talking totally about one of your dreams or a recurring dream theme you've got or a specific dream. And that, of course, you know, we call that a dream reading. Or you can do a 20-minute version of that, which is just a kind of snippet to give you a bit of direction. Or you can even share that call, that Skype session, rather probably more than a phone call, with a number of people. You know, have your own dream group sitting around the computer if you're on Skype, and I can spend a bit of time with everybody or with you as a group. And the other alternative, if you really want to get to the deeper meaningfuls for yourself, and a bit of guidance for yourself, directly related to your own stuff, is you may be interested in doing what I call life coaching, which is completely different from everybody else's life coaching, which is basically, you know, you talk to me every week by Skype or by phone, 45 minutes, and we do all sorts of things, including your dreams. But you can read all about that on my website. So that's just to say, it's great if you're getting something from these podcasts to share with other people. Please share the links. Please, you know, spread it around. The more and more people can learn to interpret their own dreams, the better. The more and more people can get their own ahas and insights and inspirations from these podcasts, the better. But if you're looking for something even more specific to you and even more deeper, please have a look at those services or email me and say you'd love to come on the show. So here are the pertinent places. www.dream.net.au, or go to my blog, janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook and have a chat direct there. Oh, can you hear that? That's the crow cawing again. If you could hear it now, you'll hear it. Well, who knows what he's saying, but I'll leave you with that thought. Until next week, have a beautiful week, and I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. That's The Crow, and I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.